If you happen to search the internet on the aloe vera question, you'll find his name appearing quite a bit in that area. He was a director of one of their research organizations as well. Max is, of course, married, has five children, has a degree in industrial relations from USC. He's probably well known in Mormon circles as the author of How to Pray and Stay Awake. And I had one person ask me how that could be written. It's sort of a controversy about whether you could actually do that or not. Wanted me to have you explain how one can pray and stay awake. He's also the recipient in 1956 of the George Washington Gold Medal given by the Freedom Foundation. And I've discovered that the George Washington Award is the foundation's highest award conferred for an individual's outstanding contribution reflecting the ideals of human dignity and the principles of a free society. And he gave me a list of all of his publications here. There's quite a lengthy list of some of the more significant ones here. In glancing through this, my attention was struck to one listed here called Let Them Govern Themselves, in which he says, the middle section is an incredibly revealing talk by Elder Boyd K. Packer about how the church must resist the temptation to over-regiment the spiritual life of its members. I'm very anxious to get a hold of that one. So I give you Max Skousen, How to Grow the Tree of Life in Your Heart.
Thank you. Oops. Okay, are you all ready? Some of the alternatives, like the ones of genetics, that you can get this stuff out through your genes and things like that, you didn't go to that one. You came to this one. So let's find out what you're going to get. Now, like to share with you, I'm going to have a handout for all of you. I'm not passing it out first, because you know what you'd do? You'd sit there and read it. But you're all going to get one of these. It's the four levels of the gospel. The first two levels are on the tree of knowledge. And do you know what we're all told to do with the tree of knowledge? What? Yeah, don't even touch it, or it'll kill you. And we've all done that, and we all got killed. Which means we're all separated from our source. We are all cut off. But there's two levels to that tree, that Lehi explains. There is the temporal law, the do's and don'ts. That's the first level. And then there is the spiritual law of good and evil. That's the spiritual level. That's getting the spiritual blessings. That's drawing. See, the first level is to learn everything you can so that you can do it yourself. Everything that you can do within your own power comes from education and effort and self-improvement. And the Lord creates that level, gives us all of this information on it, and assures us all we've got to do is do that. And we can have everything He's got. There's just one problem. Nobody's ever done it, including Jesus. Jesus didn't keep all the law. Nobody keeps all the law. You know why? The law contradicts the law. A little thing like thou shalt not kill. Now let me tell you better who you got to surely kill. Sabbath breakers, you know, and people that smite their parents. You got to kill them. Surely be put to death. How can you do both? It's designed that way. Because he said, stay away from it. It's designed to fail. It's designed to break our hearts. And yet at the same time, it's presented by the Lord who created the tree of knowledge, right? And put it there in our lives, because we all were created in the Garden of Eden, folks. The Garden of Eden is called, in symbolically, our womb. And notice there's no joy, no sorrow there. They're just, everything's provided. And then we come out in this, through the birth canal, which somebody said obviously was created by somebody who didn't have to go through it. And here we come and we start comparing what is with what we had. And this is no good, because this doesn't feel good. So we begin to worship our feelings. What feels good or promises to make me feel is good, and what feels bad or promises to make me feel bad is bad. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil on the temporal level. And then we move to, it breaks our heart, and that's when you get into grace. That's when we get into He comes into my life. Whew! That was an exciting day. That is an exciting day. Now, first level Mormons, Temporal Law Mormons. I call them Great and Spacious Building Mormons. Somebody called them the Iron Rod Mormons, but the Iron Rod means something besides law. The Iron Rod is the Word of God. The Word of God is Christ. And Christ will prepare you for that last level, which is the Tree of Life. And there's only one way you can be prepared for that. It's called go through the flaming sword. And he'll beat you with an iron rod. It's the chastening of the Lord. Being tried by fire to burn out of us all of that crap we picked up off the damn tree of knowledge. Which makes us so judgmental and so bigoted, especially about bigots. You know, I can't stand bigots, you know. See, we do the very thing we can't stand. And so here we go. We have these three levels. The preparatory to the greatest gift God gives, which is the fruit of the tree of life. And you all remember what Nephi, when he had his father's vision and he wanted to know, he saw that tree and what a tree. More beautiful than he'd ever seen. Whiter than white. Purer than pure. And the angel says, what do you want? He says, I want to know what it means. What is it symbolizing? And the angel doesn't answer. He lets him see the Virgin Mary in Nazareth 600 years hence. And then she disappears and she comes back with this little baby and all of a sudden he gets it. And the angel says, now do you know what that tree represents? He says, yes. It represents the love of God. Now, just think about that for a minute. What is God's love like? What is, in fact, Christ said, this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God. You don't know God by knowing about him. You know God by experiencing what God is, which is his love. Until you experience God's love, you don't know God. Would you all buy that? See, everybody thinks they know about God. We Mormons are masters of that. We know all about God. I comprehend God. He's just a resurrected being. He was once like man, all this kind of stuff. And so we go off in our vanity and pride, thinking we know all God. We know God. Because, after all, he's like us. And the answer is, want to bet? No, he's not like us. And he is like us. See, the paradox. One of the things you learn is that God is a paradox. A paradox are two opposite statements, both of which are true. See, God is without beginning from the beginning. There is no there, it's all here. There is no then, it's all now. See, and these are all incomprehensible. And we can't comprehend God any more than the natural man cannot comprehend God any more than I can comprehend infinite space. I accept it, but I don't comprehend it. I tried to figure that out one time. How far does space go? Forever. Well, how far is that? Forever? And ever? And ever? Now, wait a minute. Out there, there's got to be a brick wall someplace. Well, how thick is the brick wall? It's thick. And what's on the other side? Nothing. How far does that go? Long ways, you know. It doesn't work. But I have no alternative, so I believe in infinite space. But I don't comprehend it. I cannot comprehend infinite God. And God is infinite and eternal without beginning of end. And one of the things that we don't get down here, that we do get up here in the experience. This is experiential. Like John told the Christians of his day, because of the anointing you have received, the anointing of light, you need no teacher. The anointing teacheth you. So there's teachings on the first self-improvement level of the temporal law of God. And then there's teachings on the spiritual level of God. And then there are teachings on the transformation level, the integration level, where things are beginning to come back together. See, down here, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is totally separates everything. Separates me from you, this from that, me from my source. And same on the spiritual level, but on a more galactic plane. But when we begin to get on that rod of iron and being chastened by the Lord, we begin to discover we don't know what ought to be. We don't know what we thought we knew. It's the not knowing mind. It's the becoming like a little child. Sound familiar? It's always hard to be like a little child when you're a big smartass. You know? It's hard to be humble when we're so great. Now, we need to be great, and all that's wonderful, but it's also what keeps us away from the tree of life. And so then we go through the chastening of the Lord, and I'm going to show you some scriptures. On this chart, I show these four levels, and I show you some basic scriptures on each one. And I just kind of defy anybody to explain these scriptures to me any other way. Any other way. Yes?
I'm trying to put this into context. That you say the chastening is the walking the iron rod and the feelings of inadequacy.
Yeah. Yeah. That third level. And we'll get into that. Now, let me just give you a little bit of background about myself. I was raised in a Mormon family with my big hero, Klinskausen, up on top. And we were all scholars and students and speakers and all that kind of stuff. And I went on I was getting ready to go to my mission, and I was reading the Book of Mormon and Articles of Faith by Talmage and all this kind of stuff. And then I went to my first Elders' Quorum meeting. I couldn't believe it. I mean, this is old hat stuff. No, it isn't. If this stuff is true, it's more important than anything else in the world. This is not just a social gospel. And I made up my mind then, something has got to work that's not working in my life. And I became a seeker. I became a seeker after the fullness of the promises of God on this earth. And it started my stretching. And actually, I was on this first level. So let's take a look at this first level. And I don't know how much of that you can read from down there, but the four levels of the gospel. The first level is the temporal law of good and evil. Israel, great and spacious building of God's law. We read about in Lehi's vision, you know, about that great and spacious building. We forget it's a great building. And it's a spacious building, and it's filled full of beautiful people, well-dressed. And many people that struggled to get the building didn't make it and got lost. And those that are in the building, who are they? Well, they're the pride of the world. But basically, that's where Israel is. Now, ancient Israel was there. What do you think modern Israel is? Modern Israel is under condemnation. That's what President Benson warned us. The Lord says we can come out from under our condemnation, the scourge and the judgment. Not very many around him believed him. I know personally. They didn't like it. It's negative. But he was saying, the Lord says we can now come out, and we'll find the answer in the Book of Mormon. And because he says, see, we're put under condemnation in the 84th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. And he quoted this in his second conference. For six conferences, he's hammered on this. A year after he became president, he got all the general authorities together. Dallin Oaks gave a talk on this at BYU, and it was in the Ensign in March of 1994, in which he said, Brethren, this condemnation has not been lifted. And he quoted the 84th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. Here it is. The Lord's talking about the covenant. The Spirit's given unto every man that comes into the world. Hi, you guys. And those that listen to the Spirit will come unto the Father, and the Father will teach him the new covenant. Whatever the new covenant is, that we're in condemnation because we've treated lightly, you can learn. You cannot learn from man. You must learn from the Father. You know why? Because it's the tree of life. No man can give you the fruit of the tree of life. Only the Father can do this. It's called the covenant of the Father. It's the last three verses of the Book of Mormon. And we'll quote those later. And so it says, and this covenant has been renewed upon your head, not for your benefits alone, but for the benefits of the whole world, because the whole world lieth under sin. How much is that? How much is the whole world? Yeah, the whole world. Now, and sin abideth thereof. And your minds in time past have been darkened because you have treated lightly the things you have received, brothers and sisters, he's saying. Now, and because of your vanity and your unbelief, the whole church is under condemnation. And this condemnation resteth upon the children of Zion, even all. How many is that? I include prophet? Sure. In other words, I asked you to build Zion. You're going to fall on your face. They hadn't lost it yet. But he said, because of your vanity and your unbelief. Vanity. Vanity. Because you think you know so much. You take all this stuff I give you and you convert it into your great knowledge, and you're the, you know, just like Israel did. and unbelief. You believe in Christ, you don't believe him. You don't believe him. He says, I'll put my love in your heart. We don't believe that. The pure love of Christ. The only thing that counts. Like Paul says, I can have everything and not get that. I can have so much faith I can move mountains. I can give my goods to feed the poor. How's that? I can give my body to burn and still not get it. I can know all knowledge and all prophecies and still not get it. And if I don't get it, I don't have anything. Where's that found? Anybody knows? 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. Okay. And so we're brought on this earth. We're brought on this earth and we're told that the Lord has created for us two trees. A tree of knowledge and a tree of life. And we can, and a lot of other trees. We can have all the trees, there's just one tree, stay away from, don't touch. It'll kill you. And that's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What a name for a tree. Well, that's the, you know, we go to the temple. Every time you go to the temple, you hear that? And the joke is, the only reason we're in there is to get more knowledge. We don't get it. In fact, most people don't even understand about anything about the tree of life in there. You can't have both trees. If you go to the tree of knowledge, you're going to have to lose access to the tree of life. Got it? And it's guarded by a flaming sword. You're going to have to go through the flaming sword to get back to it, and you can't do that in your sins. Okay, now let's look here. This is called the preparatory gospel, which gospel is the gospel of repentance and of baptism and of remissions of sins, and the law of the carnal commandments, which the Lord in his wrath caused to continue among the children of Israel. It was a curse. They were invited to come into his rest, the fullness of his glory. It was called the provocation. And you find about in the 84th section before he got into this other thing. I want to finish that condemnation deal. Because of your vanity and your unbelief, the whole church is under condemnation. And this condemnation resteth upon the children of Zion of all. That was not a tragedy, that was a setup. We came down to this earth to fall. The church was restored to fall. To get it ready for the day he's ready to use it, which is a couple hundred years later. It's not too far away, apparently. And so then it says, and this condemnation will remain until you repent and remember the new covenant. Even the Book of Mormon and the former commandments. You'll find it in the Bible, as well as the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants. Not only to say, but to do what is written. For shall my children pollute my holy land, I say unto you, nay. Okay, so we fell and we were left with the preparatory gospel. The angel told King Benjamin, it was expedient that there should be a law given to the children of Israel, yea, even a very strict law, yea, a law of performances and ordinances. Does that sound like something we got? A law which they were to observe strictly from day to day to keep them in remembrance of God and their duty towards Him. They did not understand the law, and this because of the hardness of their hearts, for they understood not that there could not any man be saved except through the redemption of God, which is a totally spiritual thing. And I want to give you, what is the redemption of God? What is the atonement? The word means at one meant. That's the pure love of Christ, folks. That's when we all get to be one again. You don't get the atonement out of separateness. You don't get the atonement working, really, on this first tree. And then we have Alma declared that all nations are given a knowledge of good and evil. Yea, I know that good and evil hath come before all men, and all men have failed. All men look beyond the tree of life to the tree of knowledge. Every nation. Then they're given a tree of knowledge different than ours. And then they're told, you guys are the only ones that got this, and you better convert the world. You did the same thing to the Hindus, to the Muslims, to the Jews, to the Mormons. We all get busy. And it breaks our heart because we can't do it. And he says, you got to do it to make heaven on earth. Now, and behold, the Lord doth grant unto all nations of their own nation and tongue to teach his word, yea, his wisdom, to all that he seeth fit that they should have. God is working with every single one of his children. Totally. Now he's working with them differently. So I was going to mention, I was on that tree of knowledge. Let's see what else we got here. Know ye not that I bring forth my word unto all nations of the earth? For I command all men, both east and west and north and south. That's kind of everybody, and include the isles of the sea, that they shall write the words which I speak unto them. For out of the books which shall be written, I will judge the world, every man according to that which is written in their nation by their prophets. That's the Book of Mormon, guys. That's the 29th chapter of 2 Nephi. The other one is the 29th chapter of Alma. What good news. The Lord isn't neglecting any of His children. Now, Nephi was shown the multitudes of the earth was gathered together in a great and spacious building, and the world and the wisdom thereof, yea, behold, the house of Israel hath gathered together. The great and spacious building was the vain imagination and the pride of the children of men. Why are we under condemnation? Two reasons. What's the first? Vanity. And a great and terrible gulf divideth them from the tree of life, yea, even the word of the justice of eternal God. Now, here's Paul, yea, in the church. Have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles. In other words, you people are so far down, somebody's got to get in and tell you about repentance again. And all like that. Lehi declared, and all men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil. And the law is given unto men. Now watch this. Here's Lehi talking. All men are instructed sufficiently that they know good and evil. Isn't that true? Everybody throughout the world has a conscience, and they know what's good, and there's nobody in the world that does as well as they know. Do you all buy that? We all know better than we do. Therefore, we're all under condemnation. That's called the fall. Now, Lehi is talking to Jacob, his son. Jacob was born on the trail. Nephi was born in Jerusalem, and he got the law up to here. But Jacob didn't. Jacob was born out there on the trail, and he had this wonderful brother, older brother, and he had his father. He never got that law stuff. And as a kid, he went right on through the tree of life into the fullness of his glory. And he saw all this oneness. And evidently, because two chapters later, this is 2 Nephi, second chapter, Nephi is recording his misery, his own misery. Oh, wretched man that I am, why can't I do it? I'm trying so hard, why do I get angry? My flesh is wasting away, I can't sleep, and I have, we would call it chronic fatigue. He says, I'm worn out all the time, because I can't make it work. And I think Jacob was saying to his dad, what's wrong with him? It's not that hard. See, Jacob's like a little child. He says, it's just so wonderful. And so this second chapter of 2 Nephi is to Jacob. He said, okay, I know you've already got it. I mean, you got it as a youth. And salvation is free. So let me tell you about the law of good and evil. You don't understand it, see? He got it experientially, but not perceptually. He didn't understand how law is inevitable and necessary. And so he's telling him that all men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil. And the law is given unto man, and by the law no flesh is justified, or by the law men are cut off. That's all of us. What are we cut off from? We're cut off? Yeah, we're cut off from who we are. We're cut off from what it means to be a child of God, because we're cut off from understanding God. If we really understood God, we really would understand who we are. Now, Joseph Smith made an interesting statement. He said, you know, of all the subjects we should study night and day, the most critical one is who we are and our relationship to God. And he said, if you were to study night and day and read and comprehended every book that's been written from the days of Adam, that would include the sealed portion of the Book of Mormon. If you were to read them, comprehend them all, he said, you'd know very little about it. That's for knowledge, folks. Because you can't get it from anybody else's experience. And you can't get it from anybody else's revelation. And then he says this, but 5 minutes gazing into heaven, you would know more than you would by reading all the books that have ever been written. 5 minutes on the tree of life, you would know who you are. Now, I've believed in that a long time. I believed in all this stuff for a long time. And I'll show you, and until 10 years ago, I tried to imagine what it would be like. Gosh, you know? And then it happened. And it was totally different than I'd ever imagined. But all fear left my life, just like John says. Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear is torment, and he that feareth is not perfected in love. He didn't get it yet. Love is oneness. Fear is division. The tree of knowledge is the tree of division. The tree of life, uno, is the tree of one. And that's who we really are. We've never been anything but that, but we're cut off from it. We don't get it. We feel vulnerable. We feel exposed. We feel needy. And need creates greed. How you doing, guys?
Isn't the tree of life and knowledge the same?
Well, see, there's knowledge and there's knowing. And it's knowing God, not knowledge about God, that is eternal life. So knowledge, in a sense, are conclusions. A conclusion is a form of death. I concluded. There's no more to learn. Knowing is ever learning. Ever expanding and knowing, because you comprehend all things and you just keep expanding and it expands and expands. How can you expand knowing all things? How could you know more? And that's a paradox. That's the paradox. That's how all of these things, we got a paradox that as man is, God once was. And as God is, man may become. I like that. I think it's beautiful. We also have some powerful scriptures, Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, and Bible, that God has never changed. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Both are true. Yeah.
So you're saying when you get it,
after that it's just details. He's saying when you get it, and after that it's just details. I would say this, after that it's life instead of death. Yeah, see, we have aha breakthroughs all along. The biggie, the real biggie, is partaking in the fruit of the tree of life. But it's on the other side of a flaming sword. Now, let's take a look at this next section. We've now talked about the temporal law of good and evil.
Just one quick question.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's knowledge. It seems more like it's a value system.
It's a what?
To me, it seems, I don't know anything, but I'm saying, it seems like it's not a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of a value system.
Value systems are just laws.
Let's stay with it. Okay. All right, now we deal with the second level. Now notice I have the tree of life, but it's the upper part of it that's got the spiritual law. See, we get cut off on the temporal law. Now let's find out what the spiritual law does to us. Here we go. We're quoting from Lehi talking to Jacob. And here it goes. And Lehi says, "And men are instructed sufficiently that they know good and evil, and the law is given unto men, yea, by the temporal law they were cut off, and also by the spiritual law of good and evil, they perish from that which is good and become miserable forever. Wherefore the ends of the law which the Holy One hath given unto the inflicting of the punishment which is affixed." The spiritual law, we perish from that which is good. Let me explain that. See, on the tree of knowledge down here, we have our idea of what's good and bad. Good is what's constructive, bad is what's destructive. But over on the tree of life, you have a definition of good. Everything that comes from separateness is a form of need, of greed. And therefore, it's contaminated with what's in it for me, right? Therefore, God cannot tolerate sin in the least degree. Therefore, it is contaminated. Therefore, it's evil. And it says, if a man giveth a gift, being evil, it's as if he'd retained the gift because it's not with pure intent. If a man prayeth, but not with real intent, it's counted evil. Now, that's on the tree of life definition. Now, down here on the pragmatic level, listen, we're dealing with a different. But on the tree of life, anything that's contaminated with impure intent is impure. And therefore, it's evil. Now, when people get on the spiritual law, let me explain that to you. See, when I start getting grace, Mormons have been protected from grace, but a lot of Mormons get it. And they get these incredible experiences of love and joy. They taste some of the fruit of the tree of life. And now they found out what the gospel is really all about. They what?
Don't we tie that together with a testimony?
Well, there's a testimony on each of the levels. Most Mormons have been protected from grace. They don't know what it is to be born of God. They know what it is to have a sense within them that it's true. That's revealed. But that comes on the first level. And there's a totally different one, like the baptism of fire. See, that's second level. I was 45 before I had the baptism of fire. And, oh, I used to struggle. What, you know, why don't I get the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost? And then when I was 45, I write about it in my second book. It lasted most of the night. Like Nephi said, I've been filled with the love of God even in the consuming of my flesh. And I, wow, yeah, yeah. See, like Lamoni, King Lamoni in the Book of Mormon, these experiences happened. And they had never happened to me. I'd had blessings, I'd had healings, I'd had a lot of things. But I'd never had even the beginning, which is the baptism of fire. That's the spiritual level. Now, when people do experience grace, they begin to experience, maybe it's visions, maybe it's inspired dreams, maybe it's this infusion, maybe it's precognition, a prophecy, whatever it might be, they become strange in the eyes of their fellow members who are on that first level. The first level people despise that kind of stuff. And they start sharing, these people on the second level start sharing and bubbling, and pretty soon people are getting further away from them. You know, they're weird now. Because see, each of these levels is designed to despise the upper levels. Otherwise, we won't give it 100% try and still fail. And then finally you get into the grace. When I got into grace, oh, at last. Now I knew what would perfect me. Now I knew what would perfect me. All I got to do is abide in Him and He'll abide in me. Whew. There's just one problem. Nobody can abide enough. And so you get the yo-yo effect. Because that level, that spiritual level of good and evil is also designed to fail, but it's so much better than the other level. You're getting into the grace. And now, Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, see, they're not first level down here. They're the second level. They're the magic level. If you go to AA as a drinker and you say, well, I'm working on it, I think I can handle it, they can't help you. Until you come to them and say, I've tried everything and I can't stop. I'm an alcoholic. And they say, good! We'll give you something bigger than you to have faith in. And see, Alcoholics Anonymous deals with miracles. The miracles of grace. But in order for it to work, they got to convince you that you'll never be anything but an alcoholic. They'll just help you be a dry one. Now, if you go beyond this tree of knowledge, you won't be an alcoholic anymore. But they can't let you believe in that because it'll ruin the power of this one. You follow me? I had a friend of mine, he went to AA, and he knew about this next level. And he was sharing that, and they almost killed him. You know, he said, I learned how to shut up. Well, that's the same way when you're among people on the first level. You shut up about your spiritual visions and blessings. Now remember, this is all, both levels of the tree of knowledge is still the preparatory gospel. Because the preparatory gospel includes the visitation of angels. Now what will angels tell you? They'll tell you more knowledge of good and evil. You just listen to them. See, because they're not there to hand you the fruit of the tree of life. They're there to explain it all to you and what you got to do to be good to get it. Okay, now let's see what... So we're told by Lehi that there's two levels. There's the spiritual law and the temporal law. Now Lehi was shown that those not in the building found a path. And Lehi's vision, the path, the straight and narrow path that goes right to the tree of life is the second level. See, if those are people that came out of the building... Israelites came out of the building and they're on the other side of the river and they found this straight and narrow path. Straight and narrow sounds pretty rigid, doesn't it? Straight and narrow. Don't step there, step there, and we'll go right to the tree. We gotta qualify for that tree. We gotta go right down that path. And that's the second level. You know why it's not gonna work? Because there's a little trick the Lord plays on us called the mists of darkness. And they're going down that trail and all of a sudden they can't see. They can't see. And they're blinded. But they think they remember where the path was. You know how we do when we're out in the jungle, and so they go off and get lost. Now there's a rod of iron right down that path. If they'd use their heads and stop trusting their memory and their knowledge of what ought to be, they'd get down on their knees and run until they find that rod. They still can't see anything, but they just keep going. They just keep going. That's the third level. That's the flaming sword level. That's the chastening of the Lord level. That's when they begin to lose all of their judgmentalness about what ought to be. But on that straight and narrow path, they still got it. And the Lord's blessing them. The Lord is blessing them. Because it's a preparatory period to go from... You can't go directly from the temple law to the tree of life. You must get up into grace. Now that's where a lot of the Protestants are. See, they're into grace. The good ones, the charismatic ones. And they're into tongues and healings and joy and all like that. And they believe they're at the tree of life. But they're still on the tree of knowledge of what ought to be. And you ought to see all the crap that goes on. But the Lord started this church on this second level. On the miraculous level, right? And the grace. I'm telling you, the grace in their days of the church. Built all the way up to Kirkland Temple. And it almost destroyed the church. Because when people became prophets, they couldn't follow the prophet. We almost lost the church. We lost half of our quorum of 12. In 6 months, they were out trying to kill Joseph Smith as a fallen prophet.
Why do you say that was the cause?
What?
Why did you say that was the cause of the disaffection?
Well, one of the problems, you know, they began to get all these revelations and blessings, and then became very intolerant of Joseph Smith. And there were a lot of things going on. But the Kirkland church was... Yeah, a lot of things. See, of course, that was fallen prophecy. You know, they prophesied, and the prophecies failed. That for 3 nights and 3 days and 3 nights in the temple, everybody was prophesying. Those prophecies were recorded. They didn't come to pass. See, because this second level, the spiritual level, is designed not to work. And for us to be weaned away from the tree of knowledge has to fail us. It has to fail us. And so a lot of these blessings will work. I come from my own experience, guys. I could tell you stories from Elder and Doomsday how, boy, the Lord was... I mean, we had visitations and visions and prophecies. And, oh, my gosh. And we're telling, buy that house down at Malibu because L.A. is going to be burning. And I talk to all these people that are on that spiritual level. And they tell me about the patriarchal order and all these different things that it's got to do to qualify and all of these. And I'm just saying... Enjoy the tree of knowledge, friends. Because it won't perfect you. None of you are living your knowledge. And I didn't live my knowledge. So I got on the tree. I got on the straight and narrow path in 1946. Actually in 47. I got the spiritual blessings coming. And I got other people to get the spiritual blessings. And I got so wise. And I began to see prophecies failed with Joseph Smith. And they failed with us. I lost my testimony. Because a lot of crap went on there days of the church. A lot of revelations got changed. A lot of prophecies didn't work. I don't want to get into it, but a lot of things. And so I left the church. I got so wise, I was smarter than Joseph Smith, I guess. And I stayed on my path for another 7 years. So I've been 10 years now on that straight and narrow path of knowing all lessons. I knew all the things that ought to be straight and narrow, all like that. And then I had a 2-hour experience in 1977 in which the Lord let me see that all of my knowledge was baloney. I had the least idea how He really works with the children of men. And He showed me something rather marvelous. And it's in the Doctrine and Covenants, guys, in which it says in the 59th section, only in this does man displease God. And against none is His wrath kindled except one thing, that He does not confess my hand in all things. All things is how much? Is it in this room? Sure. Is it in Manti or the group down there, the whole split course? See, what you finally get is who we are and what we're doing down here. From the tree of knowledge, it's we're down here to be tested and going to learn how to become a god. Well, the joke about that is everybody fails. Nobody makes it. So it'll break our heart, because you'd never, the only ones that come under the atonement are those that have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You heard that? That's what Lehi said next. And it's so hard to have a broken heart and contrite spirit when I still think, when I'm so bigoted. See?
Is that the third level you're talking about now?
Yes. And see, I went into the third level in 1977 when the Lord showed me that He did all of that crap. That He created, that see, the tree of knowledge is not designed to work. Well, how do you wean people away from the forbidden tree? You let it work for a while and then you stop it from working. That's what happened to Joseph Smith. Stuff didn't work. You know, it would work and then it wouldn't work. And I can tell you a lot of stories. I tell some in my, just a few in my books, but I could tell you a bunch of mine. I could go on for 10 hours telling you about a bunch of mine. And all the time I was so thrilled and so blessed. This was up until that 1977 experience. And at that time, the Lord showed me that His hand was in all of it. And that changed it all. And all of me.
You call it the law of grace?
Now, this is going beyond, well, this is beginning to go beyond grace now. See, the second level, the spiritual law, is the law of grace. See, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace until you come to a fullness. Fullness is the end of grace. Because the fullness is you find out who you are. You're all there is. Every part of infinite God is infinite God. Just like your body. You have 100 trillion cells in your body. How much is a trillion? It's a lot. How much is a billion? It's a lot. If you gave your wife or your husband $1 million and said, spend $1,000 a day and then come home, your spouse would not come home for 3 years. Now, you say, that's good. Let's try it with a billion. So you give them $1,000 a day, you wouldn't see your spouse for 3,000 years. So try a trillion. Now you're not going to see your spouse for 3 million years. That's how much a trillion is. Now, you've got 100 trillion cells in your body to make you here. And every one of them is you, right? It's alive to you. It's alive because your spirit's in it. And every cell in your body is as complicated as the city of San Francisco. It's incredible, complex, a kingdom with all the organelles and the DNA and the RNA. Oh, gosh, to put us here. There's 100 trillion of those civilizations in here. And then we think we have the right to get depressed. What it takes, who we are. Well, we're not very big. You know how big we are? If you took our galaxy, 100 billion stars, most of it's space, and said, I'm going to make it small so that it's half the size down to an atom. You're made of atoms, right? By the time our galaxy, which is 100,000 light years across, takes light traveling 186,000 miles in a second to go from one end of our galaxy to the other, 100,000 years, and condense it down so that's halfway down to the size of an atom out of which you are made, how big would the galaxy be then? The size of a human body. That's how big we are to the atom. We are as big, the science tells us this, we're as big to an atom as our galaxy is to us. That's what we are. Wow, what an investment. I like this. Okay, now, so let's finish up on the spiritual level. See, the church at Corinth was rich in spiritual gifts, and yet could not be taught the spiritual meat. Paul says, the grace of God which is given unto you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterances and all knowledge, so that you come behind in no gift. Yet, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Think of that. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. After 3 years working with Christ's disciples, He said the same thing at the Last Supper. He said, there are many things which I must tell you, but you couldn't bear it yet. He just got through telling them He was the Father. You know? Who do you think they were? Now, Neither yet are ye able, for whereas there is among you strife and contention, you're arguing about who's right. You didn't get it yet. Now, Paul stressed the relative inferiority of both the temporal and spiritual laws. Let's see. There we go. The temporal and spiritual laws of good and evil is compared to charity. Though I speak with the tongues of men and have not charity, the pure love of Christ, this love of God that shed itself in the hearts of the children of men from the tree of life, I am become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, this is all second level stuff. And though I have all faith so that I can move mountains, that's second level. And have not this pure love of Christ, I am, how much? Nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, how's that for good works? And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Alma challenged those who proudly claimed they have the final knowledge of good and evil. Behold, are you stripped of pride? I say unto you, if you're not prepared to meet God. Yea, that have professed to know the ways of righteousness. First level, second level. Through the spiritual law of good and evil, nevertheless have gone astray as sheep having no shepherd. And then he goes on to explain that if you haven't listened to the voice of Christ who will give you his love, then you're not his sheep. And if you're not whose sheep, who is your shepherd? The devil is your shepherd. Now, Latter-day Saints, well, I'm glad that's not us. So we go into the temple and we hereby covenant before God, angels, and these witnesses that will do all of that law. Right? And then we're told, if you don't, you're going to be in my power. We don't believe him, do we? The Mormons are the only people on the face of the earth that are put into the power of Satan by covenant. Right on schedule. Because we came down here to be under that. We came down here to fall. And if we protect ourselves enough, we'll never wake up. Now, folks, when you find out who you really are, you'll find out you won before you came here. Because you're Michael's. That's the message of the temple. Michael was the third member of the Godhead that created the earth. And then he says, now remember, I get to go down. And they says, yeah, but we got to put you to sleep first. Yeah, okay, good, okay. So he wakes up. So Adam is Michael. Michael is a cosmic being. And we're children of Adam. Who do you think we are? That's the secret. The temple is the key to the mysteries of godliness. Godliness is a mystery. You don't get it off the tree of crap. You don't get it off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You get it off the tree of life, which is this gift of knowing God. And when you know God, you know who you are. And when that happened to me, I found out who I was. And when I found out who I was, I found out who you are. And I found out you didn't need to get fixed. That you didn't come down here to win. You came down here to experience losing. So you could comprehend that you'd won already. It's the experience of your calling election made sure. It comes from the love. It doesn't come from the tree of knowledge of attainment. So when I tell people my calling election is made sure, I know what that sounds like to them. Boy, do you think you made the tree of knowledge work? Well, I don't think so, because you're human too. And the answer is, well, I sure didn't make the tree of knowledge perfect. And there's nobody on this earth that ever has, including Christ. Christ was perfect because he had perfect love. We become perfect as God is perfect when we receive that love. That's the only way you can be perfect. And perfect means that you understand that there's nothing to condemn. It's all on purpose. It all has value. And out of that you choose. Out of that you choose mercy and grace and goodness. But you don't do it to earn anything. You do it to express what you know. Okay, now I kind of jumped ahead a little bit there. So let's go now go to the second.
5 minutes.
What?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
All right. Thank you. Now there's the third level. This is where I was for 10 years. This is the flaming sword or the rod of iron. During the suffering in winter quarters, the Lord said, my people must be tried in all things, that they may be prepared for the glory that I have for them, even the glory of Zion, and that those that will not bear chastisement. is not worthy of my kingdom, for my spirit is sent forth into the world to enlighten the humble and the contrite. Therefore, that's at winter quarters, boy. We were at the bottom of the pit. Then it goes on in Revelations, it says, his name is called the Word of God. That's the rod. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, the nations that he rules with the iron rod are the nations within. The second coming first has to come here. And then we have over here, Paul says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint with our rebuke of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son who he receiveth. There is no other way to get cleaned from the tree of knowledge except by chastening and rebuke. There's one up above that in Revelations to the priesthood. And the whole world groaneth under sin and darkness even now. And your minds in times past have been darkened through vanity and unbelief. That's our condemnation. Now let me show you the last one, and that's the most beautiful one of all. And that is the tree of life. And you'll be able to read that on your chart. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? Yes, it is the love of God which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, it is the most desirable above all things. Now, Alma taught us how to grow the tree of life in our heart. You become the tree. You become the fountains of living water. The fountains of living water is the pure love of Christ. And it'll never stop. When this happened, folks, I hungered and thirsted no more. I finally got what I'd searched for 65 years for. Now, nowadays it's happening faster. I know people that do it in a couple of years. Some in a couple months. No. They think they're there because they get that second level and they taste it, then they lose it and back and forth and they still got greedy. Okay, now, what I did after a few years, the Lord finally let me write these books. There's four I'm writing. On the blessing hitherto unknown, President Benson promised us. The first one is Looking Beyond the Mark. The Jews were a stiff-necked people, Jacob said. They despised the words of plainness, and they desired many things which they couldn't understand. I'm going to tell us what to do, we'll do it. And because of their blindness, which blindness came by looking beyond the mark, they must needs fall. Therefore God took away from them their plainness and delivered unto them many things they couldn't understand. Because they desired it, God hath done it that they might stumble. That's the purpose. So this is a book on looking beyond the mark. Notice it's a white tree over a black cover. We look beyond the tree of life to the darkness called the tree of life. Then I've just finished now. It was 4 years ago. This second book, A Blessing Hitherto Unknown, Book 2, Finding the Mark. This is where you look to the tree of life and find the love. And it's filled with the four levels. It's got in there what is the new covenant. And then finally, I spend the last half of the book on Alma's experiment of growing the tree of life in your heart. Thank you very much.
Here we have a couple of minutes for any specific questions. Why don't you keep the mic?
Oh, okay.
Is your second book for sale now?
Yes, they're back here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're $10 each.
Yeah, I've read that first one. It's great if you haven't read it.
Oh, have you? You've read the first one?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
When are the other two coming out?
I don't know. The third one is called Entering into the Rest of the Lord. The last one has to do with the transformation of the church that reconverted me to the church. I didn't get a revelation for the church. I got a revelation about the church. And it so thrilled me as to how we are going to fulfill everything the Lord told us to do. But to prepare us for that, he's given us a couple hundred years of being vain and foolish.
Should these books be read in the sequence that you wrote them? 1, 2, 3, and 4?
Well, I don't know. I think a lot of people will enjoy book 2 first because it's so positive. It's so beautiful. And then read book 1. Either way, they'll work. The book 2 is flows. It blows me away. No. Especially after the talk like today. Any other questions? Yeah.
Max, this stuff's kind of complex. And
How do you know at what level you're at and how to get from one level to another level?
You're still on the tree of knowledge if you know what ought to be. that's right. It sounds like you're on the rod. See, now, when you really don't know, then you stop all the condemning. When people get into this, you know, they really lose all criticism of the church. And they begin to, the Lord reveals them how perfect it's working for everybody on their levels. As long as I have judgment and criticism of anything, I still don't get it. See, I still don't get it. On the rod, you begin to get that more and more of that piece of it and begin to see His hand in all things, including the first level, where most people will live and die. The second level, out of 1,000 people on the first level, maybe only 100 ever get to the second level. Out of 100 on the second level, maybe only 10 get to the third level. Out of 10 on the third level, maybe one or two. That's the way it's been, but it's shifting fast. The new covenant, incidentally, Jeremiah was told with the new covenant, he said, I'm going to put my law in people's hearts. I'm going to circumcise their hearts. I'm going to do this for the whole world. I'm going to create a new earth. That's the new covenant. But you can't get it out of your vanity and say, I got the priesthood. I give you this covenant to the priesthood because I got to organize it. See, otherwise it becomes anarchy. See, we get the priesthood to organize it, but the brethren will supervise it. The priesthood is not the power of God. Faith gets you the power of God. You're the power of God. Priesthood is the organizing function. See? It's to discipline. It's to cope so that we function in a whole as a people. Anything? Yes?
The
what?
The second comforter.
Oh, yeah, that's step four. The pure love of Christ being bestowed upon all who are true followers. The second comforter, entering into the rest. They're all describing the same thing. You can't be filled with the pure love of Christ and not be in the rest. You can't be filled with the pure love of Christ and have fear. You can't be filled with the pure love of Christ and be worrying about your judgment. So that's what he says. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You don't. It's no fear. No fear anymore. Now, remember, most of us did not come down this earth to wake up. We came down this earth to find out what it opposite to we are. But we're invited to wake up. See, you don't make it a tragedy for people not to wake up. I got a wonderful brother, Clem. He thinks that book is the most false doctrine thing he's ever read. See? Because it compromises the law. See? And the law is how, and knowledge, and that's what's going to perfect us. But he's not even second level. He doesn't get the grace. He knows he doesn't. He doesn't believe in it. He says, that's for the next world, Max. And I say, bless you. Because I know my brother Clem's okay. He just doesn't know I'm okay. Yeah.